Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
That's right, it's that time again. Your Owl Post for the week is freshly delivered, and I am just one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and I'm honored and delighted to welcome again, as always, Drea Kaufman.
Hello! I sometimes wish people could see me like bouncing around jazz hands. Stuff and like it was, jazz handing.
Yeah, I was like, are we in the Greatest Showman? I didn't know! Oh man, that was great.
Yeah, man. See here, guys. That's exciting.
I love you did the announcer voice. Ah, it's fantastic. You're gonna love it. See, you're gonna dig this show. See, it's gonna be great. See. Oh man. I love that. Oh man. But yeah, I'm really I'm glad to be here. What's really cool, Drea, is that before we even get started, you had something really cool to announce to the listeners.
I do. So we love getting all of your reviews on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. And so Matt and I decided that we are going to do a little giveaway. So 1 in 10 chance, the next 10 reviews we get on Apple Podcasts, will be entered to win a copy of Harry Potter, A Journey Through the History of Magic, which is like a paperback that kind of takes you through the different Hogwarts curriculum and all kinds of just interesting things that are sort of behind the scenes, if you will, for the books. So,
yeah. So all people do have to do to win this lovely, lovely book, which I don't even have yet. So we're giving away something that I don't even own. So that's going to be cool for you listeners. But 1 in 10 shot. Apple Podcasts, hit us up with a star rating and review. The next 10 are entered, and the faster you review, the quicker you could possibly win. So, yeah, help us out. We'd really appreciate it. If you really want to help up the show, not only doing the review and everything, but find us and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thenerdparty. You can find everything we're doing Nerd Party-wise, and it's a great way to keep up with all the shows there. And, of course, you can find us on Twitter, @JoinNerdParty, so follow us there. And we've got the website at thenerdparty.com, which is a great place to go. You can find everything we're doing Nerd Party-wise. We've got so much happening there. And, of course, what's really cool, you can also write us an email from the website. Just go to thenerdparty.com/contact. You could choose Owl Posts, and then that email will come straight to Dre and I. We can talk to you about something that maybe you wanted to share there. So many great places to contact with the show, whether by liking or following or sharing or reviewing. And yes, don't forget, get your reviews in, because the next 10, you could be the winner of a book that a Harry Potter geek doesn't even own yet. So
I mean, that's saying something, guys.
It is. I have 3 copies of Harry Potter, so it's 3 different copies of the entire series, and it's a little bit insane. So I'm also doing a podcast on it for 3 years. So like it a little bit.
Maybe just a little bit.
I wish somebody would send me an invitation.
I've been waiting for my invitation. I'm convinced that it just got lost in the Owl Post, but...
Yeah. Well, it is hard to find things. I mean, you live in Arizona, so it all looks
gotten
the
too
same.
Hot.
That's true. That's true. Definitely. Well, so we're talking about the chapter, the invitation here in the Goblet of Fire, and chapter 3. And I have to say that this chapter is just chocked full of funny things. And one of them is the way that she goes into even more detail about the reason that Dudley has to be on a diet.
She does. She tells us why, and it's hilarious.
Well, the fact that Well, okay, this is, we've talked about this before, and I think we even talked about it last week. And I think that one of the things that makes this so interesting is that she has never shied away, Rowling has never shied away from sharing by showing what she feels is good parenting. And this is the kind of parenting that she does not feel is great. And what she shows here, I thought this was fascinating, is how they have continually made excuses for Dudley and his behavior and who he is. And this was something I thought was fascinating because they said that this is something that she couldn't, they couldn't as a family. There's no excuse for this, you know, because apparently the note that they got was pretty specific on the fact that, no, he's not just been boned. He's not just a growing boy. You know, it. No, it's none of that stuff. He is, he, as she says, he's roughly the size of a killer whale.
And I love that the reason the nurse gives that they no longer can, like, dance around is the fact that they don't make uniforms any bigger. Like, he cannot buy, I think she says he cannot buy any bigger knickers. Like, he is at the maximum size pants they make, and they don't get any bigger. So that's a problem.
I mean, yeah, I guess if he can't buy the pants, then that's a problem. So, and I love that, though. They finally have to kind of face this. And what's interesting is, this is going to kind of start, I think, a slow possible change in Dudley, because his parents are actually going to have to start parenting somewhat and like start doing things where they take away things that he wants for what's actually best for him. And I don't know, but I have a feeling that this might slowly start a possible change in him down the road, maybe.
And
like this might plant
Dudley?
A seed. Yeah, in Dudley.
Okay. Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So
I don't know. He just needs to lose that poundage that was really puppy fat.
Yeah. Well, how many puppies are on him?
I know. Holy crap.
So, it reminds me of the Friends episode where they see Monica way back in the day. And she's like, the camera has 10 pounds. And they're like, how many cameras are on you?
Or they're like, that girl ate Monica.
Yes.
Ugh. I also like that in this chapter, jumping ahead a little bit, but kind of how it plays in with what we're talking about with Dudley and the newfound diet. I also kind of like that this has somehow given Harry like a little bit of an edge against him, if you will. Like he sort of taunts him.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm full from breakfast. How about you? You know, like he kind of like gets his little jabs in there. Now that, you know, he has his own little stash of food that he gets to eat off of since the whole family is on this crazy diet, which anybody knows this diet is not like, this isn't going to help. He's only going to gorge when he actually eats now. But I do find the whole thing interesting. I am not a fan personally of when one person does something that everybody in the family has to do it the same way.
Yeah.
Like, especially when it's as extreme as this is, like, someone like Harry probably nutritionally needs more than a quarter of a grapefruit for breakfast. But, you know, the whole family has to do it. So,
yeah, it is interesting because I think that is the one of the funniest things about the chapter is seeing the roles reversed, basically, because they're not treating Harry any better. Right.
Right.
They're giving him less to eat than Dudley just so they can make him feel better. But, of course, they don't realize that Harry's got food stashed upstairs because he sent letters to all of his friends and they sent him supplies, you know, and care packages, owl packages. So owl care packages.
Owl post care packages? Care post.
Yeah, owl post care. So, and I think, though, Harry... Inside, he's feeling more confident because of these things. He's feeling more confident because finally they can't deny that there's something wrong with Dudley and that he needs to change. And it's not Harry who needs to change. And Harry also has the leg up because he's also got Sirius in his back pocket. So anytime they're kind of mistreating him, he just mentions, oh, well, you know, I need to write a letter to my, you know, godfather. He's got them in a vice.
Yeah.
It's kind of great. Like, and you could say that Harry's kind of being a little...
He's being a little bit of a dick.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest here.
He is. And I like that she... I would say I like that she doesn't gloss over the fact. Harry's feeling pretty good about himself. But I don't know. Do you get the feeling that she's putting that in a good light or just kind of showing you what's happening?
I think she's just sort of showing us what's happening. I think she's putting it in a light. I don't want to say a good light. It's also kind of subjective, but I think she's displaying it as Harry thinks what he's doing is right or okay,
yes,
or that he's justified in acting this way, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
And to some extent, you want to agree because we know how terrible the Dursleys are to him and just in general, and that he finally now has kind of something up on them. You know, you kind of want to root for him, but at the same time, objectively, you're kind of like, this doesn't really give you grounds to treat them badly or to threaten them or, you know, that sort of, or hold them hostage, if you will, with this sort of threat. But at the same time, you're also sort of glad he has something, right? He has some sort of something in his corner. You just wish it was less. I let me put it this way. I just wish it was a little less offensive and a little more defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wish it was more just things he could protect himself with and handle it himself versus using it to threaten them, because it walks that line.
Yeah. He gets a little turdish towards them, you know? And what I think is interesting is how much it reflects James. What we kind of learned a little bit about James, right?
Yeah.
That there was that sense in him. And I think with Harry, it's interesting because, you know, he never has had the one up. And therefore, this is a completely new place for him to be. And I think part of this he does absolutely do as defense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're absolutely right in calling out he's enjoying having a little offense.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the first time he's ever had it in his life. And
yeah,
and so when you kind of have that power, you sometimes relish using it. And I like that she doesn't shy away from the fact that Harry kind of being a little turd.
Well, and I think it's a real thing. Like, it's real. It's another way she's created a real person as a character.
Yep.
I mean, we all have been in those situations at work or home or school where it's the first time with something and we're almost overly cocky about it. And we look back later and be like, man, I wish I'd done that differently. Or, you know, you handle a situation and you upset somebody, not even thinking about how it happened. And you're like, oh man, I wish I learned from that and I can make a different decision now. And the first time we do a lot of things and the first time we have a small amount of power, sometimes we don't always wield it correctly.
Right.
And I think it's just another way that it's just, you know, it's just a good, solid, real character trait that he's overusing his power, probably because he's never had it before. So he doesn't know how to use it.
Yep. Yeah. And I think it's a good thing to show here. And it's also going to be something too. It's not always going to work either. I'll hint it. That is something that's going to happen in the next book. Like, it's not always going to help.
Right. It's going to backfire at some point.
Yep.
He can't always assume that threatening the people who are threatening him is going to work.
Right.
That tactic is eventually going to fail him. And maybe it's the Dursleys, maybe it's someone else, but it's not going to work for him long term.
Yeah. What I love when they get the letter from the Weasleys.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh, so funny.
Oh, so I love the part that the way she describes the envelope is like, and she describes it after you get the quip. So you have to be like paying attention. You know, he's like, well, at least you put enough postage on it. And apparently the entire front of the envelope is covered in postage, except for like the little tiny address section. That just, I wish that had been in the movie because that makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah. You know, when I think this is the greatness again of reading the book is that there are these places and we're getting this character growth. And the thing that I love about this beginning, and this is, again, this is a little hint for the rest of the book here, but Harry's kind of cocky attitude here is going to come to play in the rest of this story.
Yep.
And by the end of the book, he may or may not be as cocky as he is now. And I kind of love the way that she starts this book because, you know, we started off super dark and then we get to this really light chapter. It's super funny. The thing with the letter is hysterical. Like you called out the whole little point there with, I just did put enough postage on it, you know, is just fantastic. And then, you know, he, I also like that, Uncle Vernon calls out the fact that, oh, that dumpy sort of woman, and Harry's thinking in his head,
who are you to call someone dumpy?
don't you have the son who's too big for pants?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, and Uncle Vernon, of course, does his best to make fun of everything he hears about wizard-wise, but it doesn't do any good because he is allowed to go because he says, hey, well, I guess I should write my godfather. And yeah, I mean, this chapter is just a really fun chapter because we get so many little things here, and it gives us, I think what it does is it gives us a really good look at Harry in a place where he's kind of coming into his own as a teenager and kind of who he is. And this is going to be a really formative book. And for the first time in his life, he feels like he has a semblance of control. And by the end of this book, I can tell you he's not going to feel like that.
Right.
So what I love is that she's setting that up here with Harry kind of being a little jerk-ish to people and feeling like he has a little bit of power here. And we're going to see that kind of play itself out in the book. And she does a really great job of that.
Yeah, she does. And I feel like he gets even a tiny, I don't want to say taste of it, but just a little nod towards that here in this chapter too, in that he sort of threatens Uncle Vern and is feeling all high and mighty. And then he gets back to his room and he has a message from Ron's new owl.
Yes.
Hold on.
Pig.
Pig, yeah. Yes. So he has a note from Ron's new owl that he got from Sirius, who he named Pig, which is hilarious. And I love that name. It's so adorable. But about how, you know, he got the tickets and, you know, we're coming for you, whether they like it or not. His parents wanted to try to ask for permission to be kind, but they're going to come get him anyway. And I like how it's like, if they say yes, send him back with your answer pronto and we'll come get you at 5 o'clock on Sunday. If they say no, send Pig back pronto and we'll come get you at 5 o'clock on Sunday.
yes.
But, you know, he gets a little taste of that and that he would have been able to go and he would have been fine even if he hadn't sort of threatened to get his way. You know, he still was going to be able to go. And if he had just sort of stepped back and done the right thing, then he maybe would have felt a little bit better about it. So you almost get like a little inkling of that right here, that maybe that wasn't the best thing for him to do or that it wasn't necessary for him to act that way. I don't know that he necessarily takes it that way, that it wasn't necessary to go there. But I think to the audience or to the reader, she's sort of already painting that he doesn't need to be this way. It's a little over the top by showing that, you know, the Weasleys weren't going to leave him behind regardless of what happens. And it's just a nod to sort of trust his little tribe to take care of him regardless of him taking care of himself, you know?
Yeah, I like the way that you're putting it. I think that it's something that is really nice about this chapter of how it shows that. And what I love is that how it ends where, you know, he finishes the letter for Sirius and, you know, he tells Hedwig, you know, deliver this and I'll be at the, you know, Weasleys when you get back. And she gives them a, you know, affectionate little nip and she heads off and everything. And what it does is he's so excited to know that he's about to be leaving here. He's being taken care of by his family, right? Like this family that has accepted him. And she ends the chapter wonderfully by saying, it's hard just now to feel worried about anything, even Lord Voldemort. Like the joy of this life of people loving him and wanting him to be around and wanting to take care of him has driven away even the fear of something like Lord Voldemort being back. And that is powerful stuff. I think, you know, when we think back to the theme from the first book of love being more powerful, she reinforces that idea in this chapter that it's love that's more powerful and it drives away all fear.
Yep.
And I think, you know, there's a Bible verse that says perfect love casts out all fear. And I think that's what Harry experiences right here. He's experiencing that perfect love of his friends and what we would consider his family taking care of him. And he has nothing to fear. And it's kind of a, I don't know, it's something I just put together. And it's kind of beautiful, right?
It is. It's nice. Nice that Harry is finally not questioning his sort of adopted family. You know, even in the last book, at this point in the year, he was kind of skeptical of how well they'd still like him and if he'd fit in and maybe he did this. And, you know, he wasn't quite as, they're here for me and this is I trust, you know, he wasn't quite there in the last couple books. So it's nice to see he's finally kind of settled in to that. And he's accepting of that. And then sort of painting that joy that comes with it is real nice. You know, once you kind of settle in and get comfortable with that, then, you know, this is your reward.
Yeah, it's a great way to end the chapter, and it makes me very much looking forward to, you know, diving into the next one back at the Burrow. And I always love when we visit the Weasleys, so I can't wait to get back there next week. But Drea, if anybody wants to catch up with you and talk to you about Harry Potter or anything else going on, because you got some sweet baby pictures and stuff, where can people find you?
Sure, you can find me on Twitter at PCF Chick or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's COFFMAN. We had a listener, R_Yearby, who talked about how he thought the last couple of chapters we did were real, real short, but that he was real excited and really liked what we did each weekend to keep up the good work. So come on out and join the chats and let us know how we're doing on Instagram too.
Yeah, we really, really appreciate that. We had also gotten an email, and I just wanted to speak directly to that with that email. I understand that sometimes that you find the conversation a little bit lacking because we don't go into the connections with, you know, say like book 7, right? Or other books that are ahead of where we are, and it seems strange to be kind of avoiding some of the spoilers. Obviously, as you hear, we're not going to avoid all the spoilers. We're going to give you some hints along the way. And, I think the way we're doing the series, again, it's going to, when we get to those places where we can talk about all those connections, we will bring them up then. But we legitimately do have people listening to this show who've never read Harry Potter. And so this is a show for all people. And there are also plenty of kids who might listen to our show who've never read Harry Potter, and this might be their first time. So just because we all grew up with it doesn't mean that the generations, you know, in front of us now have, or behind us now have. So just need to think about that, and I appreciate you listening, and just be aware that we know There's many more things sometimes that we could talk about as they connect in all these different areas. And when we get to those points, we definitely make all those connections. So don't worry, stick with us and have fun.
Well, and feel free to come out on the social media and, you know, on Instagram or on the Nerd Party on Facebook on the post and, you know, start those conversations and talk about those connections. And, you know, we're always happy to have that conversation off the air. So people who want to avoid those spoilers can avoid those spoilers. I had someone ask me about my theory on Peter Pettigrew a few episodes ago before we had the whole unveiling of Scabbers and that sort of thing. So I'm happy to talk about those. I know Matt is too. Because it is hard. It's hard for us too to not go into that and be like, oh, I'm gonna bite my tongue because I know so much. So you know, we're excited to talk about them too, and we'll definitely do it on the show when we get to those later points. But if you're antsy to do it now, like, come on out and join on the Nerd Party on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or any of those places, and you know, we'll chat it up there too.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a perfect place to hit us up. That's why it's important to follow us on all the social medias and to like us. And so you see when the tweets or when the show gets posted and interact with us there. We love it. And you can find me on the Twitter at MattRushing02. I'm on Instagram under the same name. You can find me here on the network doing Aggressive Negotiations, a Star Wars podcast with John Mills. Every week we dive into something fun, crazy, exciting, weird, strange, deep, goofy from Star Wars. You never know what you're going to get, so I hope you'll check it out. You can also find me on the Trek FM network talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine with Chris Jones on The Orb, and then I do the General Geek Show over there, which is called the 602 Club. If you like geek stuff, we try to cram in as many of the different franchises as we possibly can, so check us out. We've done all the Harry Potter movies. We've done the Fantastic Beasts movie, so make sure you find the 602 Club. And then last but not least, doing Cinema Stories with my good friend Courtney as we talk all about film through the lens of faith. And you could find any of those shows wherever you get your podcasts. But thank you so much for checking your outpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.